Hi.
How you doing?
Good. How are you doing? I told you I'd see you today. Yeah, we're like email buddies, right?
It's true.
Yeah.
Fun seeing you back in the warmth.
Yeah. How you doing, man?
It's fun seeing you back in the warmth.
I know,
it was
right?
So cold last week.
Freezing.
You sat through that, right? I'll just put my phone in airplane mode.
It was very cold.
That one was cold, and at night it was freezing.
And
I did
the
not
next
prepare.
Day we were in a very warm room for the press interviews.
But all the screenings up there, like in that ballroom, they always have them like at sub-zero temperatures.
So it makes it hard to watch a movie.
No.
Me, I'm just
they
like,
don't want you falling asleep.
They don't want you falling asleep. But the movie was so good, though. You couldn't have, like...
I'm always thinking about, like, I don't know. I'm always thinking about, like, I'm going to get sick. But I'm such a hypochondriac.
But are you native LA?
No, I'm from New Orleans.
Okay. Hence.
Since Tinshirt. Cynthia and Marla, let's go. Who that?
Oh, my gosh. Sorry, I know we talked about it last week, but... Okay, so the way he did the script, traded the script, was he didn't print off, like, a normal, like, you know, 200 sheets. It was, like, all electronic, with all the mood. Talk about getting a script like that, like, for
it's
you, man.
So different from... Because, honestly, I'm a bad reader, to be honest. And
right.
And I have a hard time, like, going... Because you read a lot of scripts, and you at a certain point in the pages, you kind of know if this is good or not. And for Trey to kind of send something like that during a time where, like, you know, actors are getting a bunch of things, it makes it so much more fun and exciting. So out the gate, you're already like, I'm game.
Yeah.
I get to play songs and read and see. And the first page is like written, handwritten waves, and Trey's freaking writing on loose leaf paper with a drawing of a wave that he put on there.
Oh my god!
And then you flip it; it feels like his personal journey, because then it's like it's green and it's red and it's blue, and it says manatee is really big, and it says like a spinning camera, and
wow.
It says aspect ratios are changing, and so and you listen to, you know, Flora Dada, and you listen to like Frank Ocean, and you're just kind of like, oh my god, I'm in the world, I'm in Florida. And that's nothing better than reading a script and feeling like I can see the movie.
Yeah.
That's so much more fun.
So, this role, such a great role. And, you know, your performances, everybody's talking about it. What was it like for you, like, to step into his shoes and, like, the mental toll that it takes on you?
It was a lot. I mean, Trey and I talked a lot about our... You know, romantic relationships and my relationship to my father and his relationship to his and my sisters, and just trying to re-examine our lives and what were some of the mistakes we made and what were some of the things that we you know, wish we would have done better and how we would have treated ourselves.
Yeah.
And really trying to unpack and understand who we are and who we were going to become and what would we kind of share, you know, with our younger selves in a lot of ways. And so getting into that headspace again was therapeutic in a lot of ways, because, you know, you can be in a scene and you're thinking like, oh, this is what I was feeling, and this is why I was feeling the way I was feeling. So you understand the dynamics of what a father and son is and the traumas that they kind of existed before them. It takes a toll on you, but it puts me in a position where I feel like I can actually talk to my dad now and articulate my feelings and my thoughts and things that I would have liked to change and how I would like to grow moving forward better than I ever could. And it doesn't really matter what happened in the past if we're healing in the present.
Yeah.
So I'm just, it was a lot, but I'm grateful for it, you know?
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Because that was the thing, like, you know, you're watching Sterling's character and all he's doing is like, you, and like there's never an interaction of a conversation until, like, you know, it's way too late to even have that conversation. Talk about your physical, I know we discussed it, but talk about your physical transformation for this, because...
It was a lot. I was 115, I think I told you that.
Yeah.
115 when we started, and when he first told me, he was like, you're really gonna have to gain some weight. And I was like, okay, cool, I'm down to do it. So I did 3 months of wrestling training, and that was like a 3,500 calorie diet, which was like a 6 eggs a day, 6 pieces of bacon, a couple yogurt, a cup of fruit, protein shake, another smoothie,
oh my
go to CrossFit for an hour, Then I would do a crazy lunch and with another smoothie, then go to wrestling for an hour, lunch again for a break, and then I'll go to wrestling in the afternoon, and then I would go eat dinner, and then I would repeat every day for 3 months, and it was exhausting, but it was so necessary, and I got from 115 to 160 by the time I started the movie.
Oh my gosh.
But it was so necessary because it started to put me in the space of like the discipline and the obsession over my body and like how I looked and how people saw me and over what I was putting in my body and how I was moving and interacting and my coach and the testosterone and the masculinity that exists in those spaces. Because like, you know, when you walk in a gym, it's just a specific vibe.
Right.
It's not my vibe all the time, but it's a specific vibe and you can kind of hear the conversations and just the psychological like warfare going on in their heads in terms of like what they're trying to put out and emit and the persona and the bravado they want to kind of have to exist. So it was a lot, but it really helped kind of give me the exterior of what Tyler wanted to seem like.
Yeah.
And then throw in all the like the levels and contradictions within himself and the vulnerability that exists innately that he just is begging to spill out but he can't. But it's fun to kind of have that wall to kind of push at, you know? So, yeah.
I love the complexity of the characters and his too, because, but then, you know, what I also loved was seeing him have like this loving relationship with this girl and then the turn that takes, but then he's also got this great relationship with his sister over everybody else in there and like his stepmom and then they all change when, you know, things happen. What was that like on set, off set, building that and then also having that on screen too?
Yeah, I think what was so important when I talked to Trey about it was like there's something about a mother's love that is just so unique and so vital for any person's, for any human being.
Yeah.
Like that, you know, the first image a child sees is his mom, you know, when he's being, whether they've been breastfed or even if it was, you know, they're still being held.
Yeah.
And so there's this connection that no one else will understand. And when you lose that, what happens at a young age? And if you don't feel like you have these relationships that exist, then how does that affect anyone, but specifically a young man in this case? And so I think he's seeking that out in his sister. He's seeking it out in his relationships. And he's not even understanding, you know, his reflection of what that might look like from his father and their relationship may not be the best representation of what he needs in his life right now. So he's bringing in the traumas from his dad's past, his own insecurities, his own fears, and he's projecting them. And that's how codependency takes place in a lot of ways. So he doesn't know, and he's 17, and you know, we're kind of forced to become adults earlier now.
Yeah.
Whereas, like, I love when my real mom talks about, she's like, I got to go outside and play with my sisters and my, you know, the neighborhood friends. And we used to go double dutch and do this and like play jacks and stuff like that. Kids aren't doing that now.
No,
they're obsessed
in
their phones. They're obsessed on trying to keep up with the next person next to them. They're obsessed with themselves, and they're also with the pressures of like college and like, will I get a job after this? And what does that mean? And are my grades good enough? And what's going on with the killings going on? The school shootings, and you know, just the police shooting. You know, there's so much to be worried about, and you can't just be young.
Yeah.
And I think the boy is like spiraling.
Yeah.
But those two relationships mean the most to him.
Yeah.
That's his best friend, Alexis.
Yeah.
And that's his sister. No one will ever be able to break the bond of the things that they've seen in their life.
Yeah.
And they're connected for life. And that's, you know, and just something beautiful about getting that sensitivity brought to him, where it's definitely not coming from the father.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, yeah, that was a long-winded way of answering.
No, I love it. I love it. And what you said is so true. It's like kids nowadays, they're just, they don't have a childhood.
Mm-hmm.
They don't have, like, you know, they're not going to be able to look back in 20 years' time and be like, I remember we used to run around, like, playing pranks on people and doing things.
Right.
Or, like, going to school and just going to school without fear of not being able to go home that day.
Exactly.
Because all, you know, getting bullied online and because...
And the access we have to knowing where people are.
Yeah.
And just, it's just... It's a strange time to live.
But Trey did a really good job of that, of like bringing in like the social media aspect of that and like the texting and like the communication. Like that's the world that you know, we live in. The courtroom scene. What was that like shooting that? Because you had a real judge and you're shot, and that's being shot in a real courtroom. What did that do to you? Like, what was that like that day?
I remember being really. I think, you know, as the actor, you kind of have to put yourself in issues in that moment, and we kind of shot that really early on. It was like in the first 2 weeks, and I hadn't even done all the Tyler work yet.
Oh my
and
gosh.
I'd only done it on the page.
Yeah.
And so, but I had done movies like where I did a whole movie called All Rise, where it was like we explore a 16-year-old who was at the wrong place, wrong time, and suddenly he's on trial for 9 months. So I had an understanding of what was to come and that weight, but I think dealing with Tyler and understanding the level of grief and guilt he felt is very similar to Emily in a lot of ways. And to kind of sit with that and really hear and play back everything that your father said when he was like, you don't have those luxuries. And kind of understand, like, he's, in a weird way, he's not wrong. His fear isn't wrong. And there is no fairness in the judicial system.
Yeah.
And it isn't anyone looking out for the young black man. And, you know, the statistics will tell it for itself, you know. We make up 34% of the, you know, the population in correctional facilities. And I just think that that reality is starting to dwell on him.
Yeah.
Like, oh, my God, what did I get myself into?
Yeah.
And no one will understand what actually happened that night. No one will understand the dynamic and no one cares about the pressures that were put on me.
Yeah.
I am just a statistic.
Yeah.
And they don't see me for a human being. And I'm not recognized in the court of law as that. So just taking all that in, I was broken. I was broken and I was scared and I was angry with myself in a lot of ways that I, you know, as Tyler, you know, how could I get to this point? I was angry for the world. I was angry that this boy wouldn't get justice.
It was such a powerful moment. What did you do afterwards when you wrapped? Like,
I remember I had to like start. I had to go to Toronto for press. I had some movies there, and I remember like literally getting in the car, leaving them after we did the. The last scene I had to shoot was the driving from the party to the house.
Oh, wow.
So I just had to do all that stuff that night before, and there was a big thunderstorm, and we didn't get it all, and I was, like, worried that it wasn't going to work, so I was all messed up, and then it was, like, 2 a.m. when we wrapped, and so I just went to bed, and I woke up, and I kind of said goodbye to Trey, and everyone else was gone, got in the car, went to Toronto, and then I had to start a job the next day.
Oh, my gosh.
So
completely different.
I just didn't get a chance to really... I guess grieve or have a closure, but it also challenged me to realize what I found from actually seeing the second half is like it happens in time and we're always in process and I have to give myself permission to go through the steps and just remind myself that, you know, it's such a beautiful experience, the lessons we learn, the good and the bad, we grow from it and we become stronger from it and it was okay. So it took me a long time. I got a therapist too.
Oh my god!
So I needed to unpack some of that, but I'm so grateful for it though. Yeah.
What was it like seeing it for the first time?
It was tough. I actually went to Florida and surprised Trey. I texted his girlfriend. I was like, I'm coming. And she was like, don't tell Trey. And so then like Trey came outside in his like bathrobe. He was like, Mr. Dot. And so we came in and he originally just wanted to show me 15 minutes of the movie, and then suddenly 15 minutes turned into the full hour.
Oh my goodness.
And I was just, you know, the first time you watch something, I look at it and just like, oh, that's a series of images from like that summer. But then, you know, I was really so blown away by the second half because, first of all, seeing Taylor's performance and how she navigated that, just I was so grateful for her strength and her ability to, her wisdom that she brought to that character, because I see my sister, I have two younger sisters that are 4 years younger than me, and they're so smart and they're so wise and they just have such a perspective, because I think there's something about sitting back and being able to observe a family that you learn so much. And so I healed with Taylor through those moments, and I was grateful to see Trey, you know, show this black family in such a light that was true and honest, and it wasn't exploitative, and it wasn't
totally
the cliches, it wasn't the stereotypes, it was a family, and he really bridged that gap between his experiences and my experiences, and that just doesn't happen often. So I was like looking at him being like, you're something else, man. You really do, you know how to love. And that was so beautiful to me.
He's a genius. He's so bold, and he's also really smart of what he did. And I think that's the one thing I loved about it. It's like, this is just a regular functioning family.
Yes.
Like,
yes.
You know, they're not in, you know, they're not impoverished. They're not in like, in a, you know, like struggling. They're doing really well.
Right.
They just have, you know, they just have this massive tragedy that happens.
Right.
Unfortunate thing. And but then the life still carries on, and he didn't end it when he could have just ended it there.
I know, like, right? That's more yeah. families than not. When something like that happens, like, it's the family that has to kind of deal with that. You know, they're going to go through the own experience, but we've seen that story.
Yeah.
But that's what happens. We lose someone, yeah. and we have to figure out, how do we move forward? How do we grow?
It's genius.
It's
oh my
genius.
Gosh. It's so good speaking to you, Kelvin.
Me too.
I'm so glad we did it.
Yeah.
I'm going to go speak to Trey, actually.
Nice.
So that'll be fun.
He's a kid.
Thank you so much. You take care. Good to see you. I'll see you soon, okay?
Okay.
Thank you.
Thanks again.